Good morning and a very warm welcome to the service this morning.
This morning we have our communion service and invite you to come and to join with us in this very special celebration of, amidst all the change and all the uncertainty, the fact that we have a God who is, well, he is sure, steadfast, and we can depend on him. 381 is our first hymn. Jesus, stand among us at the meeting of our lives. Pray together. Lord God, as we gather in this day, I suppose we are struck by that sentence there, fear not, fear not. Lord, that's what Jesus said. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, because you have with you a God who is strong and mighty, a God who will guide and care. Father God, amidst all of the uncertainties of this time, and as we come into this place to gather, Lord, we pray that you would just surround us with a real knowledge of your presence. Strengthen our heart and allow us to feel anew your closeness, your kindness, your compassion. Father God, as we come together today, of course, we're going to be celebrating in this wonderful feast, in bread and wine, a remembrance meal of Jesus. And Father God, in that, we pray that you would strengthen us inwardly and remind us that we are united to him and to one another, joined by the Spirit. And Lord God, it's that Spirit that we ask for today, a Spirit which will excite us. Excite our hearts knowing of your love. Excite our souls knowing of your peace. Excite our life as we think about how we can serve and worship you both here and in the community where we live and work. Father, draw near to us, and may we know afresh how precious and special each of us are to you and should be to one another. So may we find expression of that in what we do, in what we say, what we sing, and how we pray in and through Jesus, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Gosh, it's hard work being a minister. You've got to do removals and everything. Good morning, you all. How are you all doing? You're all looking lovely this morning? All happy? Yay! Excellent. That's the way we like to see you. Smiling, happy faces. Now, this morning, you've been hearing a lot about this, but this morning, I wanted to talk to you about your hands. Show me your hands. Yeah, they're still there. Excellent, excellent, good. You've got hands. Show me your hands. She's I'm not showing you your hands. Keep my hands down. Keep my hands down. Anyway, hands are really, really important. And there's been lots of things, I'm sure you'll have had this at school, about taking care to wash your hands. Have you been hearing about washing your hands? Taking extra special care about washing your hands? The thing is, how good are you at washing your hands? Hands up if you think you're great at washing your hands. Hands up if you think you're rubbish at washing your hands. Hands up if you've got no hands. Some of you haven't put your hands up, you see. Well, this morning what I wanted to do is, actually, I wanted to give you a wee demonstration about how to wash your hands. Now, you think washing your hands is simple, isn't it? Yeah? But actually, it takes a wee bit of effort. And I know there's been all sorts of things about singing happy birthday twice and all that kind of thing and taking your time to do your hands. But actually, there's more to it than just time. Oh, I've even got water here. I was going to ask for a volunteer and I thought, that's going to be too messy. So I'm just going to show you my hands, and I want you to follow me and to see how to wash your hands. It's easy washing your hands, isn't it? Can you follow me doing this? I know you're not going to have water and soap and all that kind of thing, but if you could do it when I'm doing it, that would be really helpful. All right? So let's get your hands ready for washing. Yeah, the adults should do this as well, so you know what you're doing. Okay. Oh, but the first thing that you said that you should do is just wet your hands. So just get your hands all wet. Yeah. And then you put soap on it. This is lovely antibacterial soap. Not too much a cost for it. And then you kind of lather it all up, get it all going. All right. And then this is the bit that folk don't often get. Is then you put one hand on top of the other hand like that, and do it like that between your fingers. Give it a good rub between your fingers. Are you doing that? And then change over so you're in the back of the other hand and do the other hand. All right. That's quite good. So you've done both hands between your fingers. Now you need to do your fingers itself. You need to do the back of your fingers. Right. So you need to just, this is an interesting bit. You've got to put your hand inside like that and rub the back of your fingers. Okay. Bet you don't even do that, do you? Right, so the back of your fingers and then do it with the other hand. Do the back of your fingers. Yeah. Now here's one that you probably don't remember. Your thumb. Remember and do your thumbs. Look at that. Do your thumbs. Okay. So that's great. We're doing pretty well here. And then this is a fun bit. You've got to put your fingers together. And then do your fingertips. Believe it or not, most of the anything that's wrong will be on your fingertips. And people, when they wash their hands, often don't do their fingertips. So you do your fingertips in the palm of your hands. Do that. And then, of course, once you've done all your fingers, you've done your thumbs, you've done front and back, you've done in between, and then you just wash off all your soap. Oh, all the way around. I'm trying not to get myself all soaked in the process. And then, gosh, I must have put an awful lot of soap on here. I'm trying to tear it all off because I don't want my bread to taste soapy later on. And then, of course, get some paper towel. It's always good if it can be paper towel. And give it a good clean off all the... So that's quite an interesting way of doing it. Did you know of it that way? No, there you are. That's hand washing according to the World Health Organization. That's where that comes from. So it's their preferred way of washing hands. So, easy. Get it wet. Give it a good wash. Palms. The back. The back of your fingers. Back of your fingers. Your thumbs. And then... your fingertips. Don't forget your fingertips. There you are. Do that. You won't need to sing happy birthday because you can see it takes a wee while to do it. You see, most people, when they're just do it for 20 seconds and they've missed half their hands out. Now, the question is, why do we do that? Why do we wash our hands? What's the point and the purpose of washing your hands? Do you know? Yeah, go on.
So we don't get things into our hands.
Fantastic, well done, top marks. Yeah, when you touch things, you can easily get germs on your hands, and you don't want to be, well, passing that on. Actually, the one place you don't want to be passing it on to is onto your face and onto your mouth, actually. It's one of the things. And what you want to be doing is not passing on to other people. Not passing it on. And yet, this morning when I came here, I was trying to think what my topic might be. And I thought, do you know what my topic wants to be? I want you to pass it on. Oh, wait a minute. Hands up if you think I want you to pass on germs. No. So I don't want you to pass on germs. That would be bad. What I do want you to pass on is kindness and love and being helpful to people. And actually washing your hands is actually part of that. Because if we're not passing on germs, then what we are doing is passing on love, care for other people. And Jesus said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to love God. Yes, love God, but love people. And love not just with your heart, love practically. Do things that will really help them. And so even the simple things about washing your hands means that you're passing on something really valuable to them, which is their continued health and well-being, and your health and well-being as well. So there you are. You can have a wee think about all of that. Remember, wash your hands. And we're going to sing a song, and the song is called Pass It On. And it's an old song. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Do you know that song? No. Do you know, I didn't really know it either. And then when I said to Lynn, she says, oh, everybody will know that. That's such an old song. Everybody, that's a good song, that. You don't know that. Okay. Well, it's up on the screen. It only takes a spark to get the fire going. And it's got some lovely, lovely words about what we're to pass on. That's the love, the goodness, the good news of God. So let's stand together. Awful nervous doing that hand washing when there are professionals in the organisation. You'll tell me later on whether I did it right. We're going to turn to our Bible reading, and it is 1 Peter chapter 3. Christine's going to come and share that.
Reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, reading verses 8 to 22, and it's subtitled Suffering for Doing Good. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Amen.
So let us now pray, and our prayers today of intercession are actually going to be using a prayer by the moderator of the General Assembly, Colin Sinclair, and he has written a special prayer in the face of the coronavirus. So let us pray together. Living Lord, in our hour of need, we come to you, for we have nowhere else to turn. We put our faith in you because you have proved your faithfulness time and again. We reaffirm our love for you because you have never let us go. We thank you, Lord, that you are not distant from us, but have drawn near in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has shared our life, tasted our death, and defeated it. He understands our worries and our fears. Help us to respond as your children now. And we pray for this pandemic spreading across the world, remembering all those who have lost loved ones, and praying for those seriously ill at this time. We uphold the National Health Service as it responds to this added pressure on its already overstretched services. We pray for doctors and nurses and all in the caring professions who work to help and support people as best as they can. We remember those working behind the scenes, testing samples, confirming results, giving information to patients. We uphold others trying to understand this virus better, working to create an effective remedy. We pray, Lord, for our governments in Westminster and Holyrood, as they work with the best medical advice to guide us on how we should respond and what action we should take. We pray that these guidelines might be taken seriously and that all would put them into action. Lord, may this crisis bring out the best in us, not the worst. Help us to live by faith and not by fear, to build bridges and not barriers, and to resist all who would speak ill of any other group. May we not forget our responsibility to one another, not least to the vulnerable and voiceless in our communities. Help us to find ways of keeping in touch and offering reassurance to those with underlying health issues, for any who feel particularly vulnerable or in danger at present. As the virus spreads, we pray, Lord, for the disruption it causes to normal life, bringing new fears and anxieties. We pray for those who have been laid off as their work disappears, for financial hardship for individuals and businesses, for the impact on the economy and pensions when austerity has already left its mark. Lord, we pray for those whose trips, both business and pleasure, have been cancelled, and others where events long anticipated and planned for have been postponed. For those making contingency planning for home-based work or childcare or exams, may our inconvenience not blind us to others' loss. We remember those who cannot visit loved ones or in lockdown care homes, for the elderly whose social contacts have been severely curtailed. So help us, Lord, to find creative ways of keeping in touch, of assuring them that they are not forgotten or ignored. May congregations find new ways of living through this time. May we not forget our faith, but draw strength from it. So may our worship be heartfelt, our fellowship deepened, and our service increased. God of grace and God of mercy, hear our prayers at this time. Strengthen us by your Spirit, so that we may carry on our lives as best as we are able, looking out for others, showing love in action, being faithful in prayer, and bringing encouragement, hope, and peace, always trusting in you, our rock and our Redeemer. Lord God, these prayers we bring to you now, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to hear the praise group bring to us our anthem, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Mentioned earlier on, there's a whole lot of things about this coronavirus pandemic, as they're calling it, that sounds and feels, well, scary and certainly unsettling. One of the aspects of this disease which we've come to become very aware of is the extent to which it's travelled. It wasn't that long ago we began hearing about this kind of new flu-like outbreak away over in China. Perhaps at that point we didn't pay it too much attention or give it much thought. But then the speed of the infection began to become more apparent, didn't it? More and more people were being affected. And it wasn't that long before we heard that even after the best efforts to quarantine people, to stop people moving, travelling out of their homes or out of the country, then the virus itself moved beyond China, went to nearby Japan, went to Korea. And then we began hearing about it in other places, in Iran, and then France and Germany. And then, of course, it found its way here to our own shores. The speed and the spread of this virus has been quite remarkable and probably testifies to the global mobility that exists today. You can, of course, travel almost anywhere in the world within, well, just a matter of hours, really. There's a great word which is used in connection with trying to understand the spread and the incidence of disease. And actually, I refer to it in the title of my sermon today. The word is epidemiology. That's your word for today. Epidemiology. And you can look out for it. The chief medical advisor probably talks about it occasionally when he's thinking about the virus and its spread. When you get on various experts of various kinds, they'll sometimes talk about this epidemiology. Today I wanted to use that word, not in connection with something that is actually bad, like this virus, but actually something that is good. Now, although epidemiology is usually used in reference to disease, the word itself, in its literal meaning, means the study of that which is upon the people. That's what the word means. So the Greek word epi means upon or among. The word demos or demos means people or district. And logos means, well, the word or study. So the study of what is upon the people. And you see, I've paired up that word epidemiology with the word Christian. And I want you to think about the spread and the incidence of Christianity. We all know that Christianity, of course, began in the Middle East. It started with one person, Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Christianity was very slow to get going. Firstly, because, of course, it took time after the birth of Jesus for him to grow and to mature to the point of his public ministry. So we're all talking already about 30 years. There was just one individual, Jesus of Nazareth. And then he began to share his teaching, showing the miracles with a small group of followers. And it seemed to take them a number of years as well to catch on to the core elements of what Jesus was trying to communicate to them. And then even after Jesus died and rose again, the church itself didn't grow massively. It grew, of course it grew. And the message began to spread out from Jerusalem out into the nearby kind of Roman world. And if you read or refer to the book of Acts, then we hear about, for example, the Apostle Paul making journeys all over the place to take out the message and to form new Christian communities or to support kind of fledgling Christian communities. However, even at that stage, the numbers of Christians were not many at all. It wasn't a big number. You actually get to the end of the first century AD, and it's been calculated that there probably were fewer than 10,000 Christians in the whole of the Roman Empire. 10,000 Christians. Now, the whole population of the Roman Empire at that time was probably around 60 million, which means that Christians made up 0.01%. Talk about being a minority group. They were just tiny. And if you're trying to get in your mind what that might look like, in the 2011 census that we did here in Scotland, the numbers that were affiliated with the Russian Orthodox Church here in Scotland is about how big Christianity was in the Roman Empire. Just a very small group. They're there, but they're small. Now, fast forward 100 years. We get to AD 200, and the numbers are increasing. Christians, however, are still a minority, a tiny minority. Still 100 years afterwards, 200 AD, still under 1% of the Roman Empire. But things were beginning to happen. Yes, it began slowly, but now it was gathering pace. If you think about the coronavirus and some of the briefings that we've had, they sometimes show you graphs. And the graphs show you that, you know, at the beginning of this happening, it was very, very flat. And it was just going up slowly. And then it gets steeper and then steeper and then steeper. That graph is called exponential growth. And that's what happened with the early church. It started off slow and then started to gather pace. And by the time you get to 250 AD, the number of Christians had risen to more than a million, almost 2% of the population. Two generations later, by 300 AD, Christians made up 10% of the population, approximately 6 million people. The numbers after that point skyrocketed as Christianity continued to spread around the world, attracting people from all walks of life, from all classes of society, from all age groups and kinds. There's a book by a very prominent Christian who talks about this spread of Christianity, and he talks about it as the spreading flame. It just goes from one place to the other. According to the 2011 Pew Research Center survey, there are now approximately 2.2 billion Christians around the world. 2.2 billion. And that's up from 600 million just 100 years before. I hope you're getting the idea. Christianity is kind of going like that. By any stretch of the imagination, that growth is phenomenal and it is still continuing. Christianity is projected to be the religion of choice for around 3 billion people by 2050. Now, we sometimes get the impression, and it's a wrong impression, that Christianity is on the wane. That the faith that we hold so dear is not so potent and it doesn't have the same impact or effect today. But that's just wrong. It's wrong on a worldwide perspective. And it might do us well to think why that is the case. We were hearing earlier on the reading from 1 Peter chapter 3. And it's really instructive. In general, the chapter there deals with perseverance, with remaining strong and confident in the Lord, even in the face of persecution. That's what this minority Christian group were experiencing in that day. Terrible persecution. They were the odd ones out. They were the folk who were doing things differently. And so they were targeted, they were oppressed, they were abused for being different. Worshipping one God when everybody else was worshipping a whole bunch of deities, not taking part in temple rituals with all of the excess and immorality that revolved around that stuff. Christians set themselves apart. If you think it's hard being a Christian today in our culture, then it was certainly 100 times rougher and more back then. So what kind of advice was given to this presumably anxious group of believers? Well, we find it in verse 9, among other places. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. See, Christianity has always revolved around this idea of love, loving people. When rightly lived, it's demonstrated a way of living that always stood in stark contrast to its enemies. The enemies would want to cause fear and hurt and pain. And Christians, on the other hand, sought to bring peace, tranquility, care, compassion, well-being. The call for Christians then and now is to focus our attention on Him who is the author and perfecter of our faith. You see, they were encouraged in verse 15. It says there, but in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Amidst all that is going on around you, amidst all of the chaos, amidst all of the oppression, focus in there. In your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Of course, Christ is Lord, that's a very powerful statement because it reminds us about who ultimately is in control and who really does have the power. With Christ, we can overcome and know the eventual victory. With Christ as Lord, we can also move beyond being passive to a position which is proactive, to do good where we are able. One where we're encouraged to take a stand of faith and to bring light into the darkness of our oppressors and to allow truth to conquer falsehood. The writer says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this, he says, with gentleness and respect. We're called to share the reason for the hope that we have. Now, what's this hope that we have? Well, the hope that we have is Jesus. Yes, we know that He is Lord, that He is sovereign, that He is mighty, that He has conquered death, He has dealt with sin, He has forgiven us our past to secure our eternal future. In Him, we have an amazing hope. In another place in the Bible, it's referred to as a sure and certain hope that we have. And it's not to be our private possession, this hope. This hope is, yes, for all who believe, but it also says in the Bible that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord for help can be saved. But the ability to pass on that hope lies with us. You know, one of the major reasons why in our country and culture Christianity is diminishing is because so many Christians have self-quarantined, so to speak. We have kept ourselves indoors. As often as not, we have kept ourselves within our churches and within our church groups, and we've not ventured too much outside. And when we have done that, gone outside, well, often we've put on a virtual face mask to prevent the spread of hope. We just don't say anything to the people we're with. The history of Christianity in the past, and more recently in other parts of the world, teaches us that spreading the good news, that has a positive and a beneficial effect. We know it can literally turn a person's life around, moving them from a position or an experience of despair to one of hope, from being empty to finding some purpose, from walking in the shadows to enjoying the wonder of God's light and love. It can also transform whole communities and even countries. But it can only happen. These things can only happen when we who are bearers of this news of Jesus shares it with others. So please do that. Do that. Some things we're trying not to spread. We're trying not to spread any disease, any disruption, any dissension, anything that is negative. But there are things that we ought to be sharing and spreading around, especially at this time when people are afraid and uncertain. And that is to point them towards the light, towards the love, and towards the life that is only found with Jesus. So may God bless you and I as we seek to do that. And to do it, it says, with gentleness and with respect. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this knowledge, history of Christianity spread, but also the part that we can play to allow others to have the hope that we know. Father God, thank you now as we draw near to our time of communion, remembering afresh that the hope is found in Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing together the hymn 857, Mission Praise, I the Lord of Sea and Sky. Peace. Go knowing the love and the goodness of God and spread that hope that we have to others. Go with God's blessing, the God who is Father, Son and Holy Spirit, this day and evermore.